All right, news roundup and information overload hour, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. One of the things that has been very concerning is the politicizing of the Department of Justice. Now, I first pointed this out when, remember, Biden's DOJ, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, goes after the state of Georgia over their new voting law, which allows for 17 days in-person early voting. It's very accessible in the state of Georgia. They have drop boxes in every precinct. You do have voter ID requirements. And, well, anyway, they politicize the Department of Justice. They go after Georgia. And my question at the time was, well, why not go after Joe's state of Delaware? Now, he's represented Delaware for, what, 5,829 years? And not one time did he ever make voting more accessible for the people of his state of Delaware, or what he described on Fox News Sunday once as my state's a slave state, that state that he represented all those decades. All right, so Joe Biden, let's look at Delaware. Do they have any in-person early voting? They have none whatsoever. Some of the most restrictive voting laws in the country. Oh, and by the way, if you want to vote absentee, in Georgia, you don't need to provide an excuse. If you want to vote by mail, you don't need an excuse. In Delaware, you do. Are there any drop boxes in Delaware? There are none. Any early in-person voting days? None. Do you need a voter ID as a requirement to vote? Yes, you do. So why didn't Garland go after the state of Delaware rather than the, which is far more restrictive than the more accessible state of Georgia? Raises a lot of questions. Now we've got the Biden administration ramping up efforts to criminalize political dissent. Now we've got one little sidebar issue to all of this. And, you know, Jen Psaki, by the way, can't say whether Biden considers protesting parents domestic terrorists. I mean, that's a pretty easy answer. And now we find out that Merrick Garland, in fact, has a family member that is making a fortune on selling CRT curriculum to many of the school districts around the country. Well, that makes no sense either. Anyway, let's listen to Lisa Monaco, the deputy attorney general, trying to explain to Senator Josh Hawley the DOJ memo calling for the FBI to monitor school board meetings and this use of the phrase domestic terrorists.
Are you aware of any time in American history when an attorney general has directed the FBI to begin to intervene in school board meetings, local school board meetings?
I'm not aware, and I'm not aware that is not going on. Let me be very clear.
Really, this isn't about local school board meetings? That's not the subject of the memorandum? I thought that was in the memorandum.
The memorandum is quite clear. It's one page, and it asks the U.S. attorney community and the FBI special agents in charge to convene state and local law enforcement partners to ensure that there's an open line of communication to address threats, to address violence, and that's the appropriate role of the Department of Justice to make sure that we are addressing criminal conduct and violence.
Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children, is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms.
And that was Josh Hawley with the deputy AG. And then, of course, there's Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He made this brilliant comment about parents and what their involvement with schools should be.
First of all, this shows how clueless Glenn Youngkin is. He doesn't understand what the laws were because he's never been involved here in helping Virginia. But it was not. The parents had to write to veto bills, veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledgeable about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions.
You vetoed it.
So stop the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. You know, I get really tired of everybody running down teachers.
I don't think parents should be telling teachers what they, well, what if they're teaching things that are not age appropriate? I would like to, you would think schools would want parental involvement. Anyway, the Attorney General from the great state of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, is with us to weigh in on this, on the legal side of this, and much more. He's also running against reliable Schumer voter Mark Kelly in the state of Arizona. I mean, at least Kristen Sinema has shown a willingness to stand up against Schumer, to squad New Green Deal socialism in some capacity. We'll see how it plays out first, but Mark Kelly has never done so. Mark Kelly, from what we can see, has barely been down on the border, barely lifting a finger to help the disaster that's at the border. But anyway, Mr. Attorney General, Senate candidate, Mark Brnovich, can you explain to me, I would think that school boards would want input from parents, and parents have every right to tell school boards when they cross a line that it's not appropriate.
Sean, you are absolutely right. Parents have a right and, frankly, a duty to speak up if they're concerned about what's happening with what their children are being taught or what's happening at the local level with school districts. This notion that the federal government is going to come in and start dictating to local school boards anywhere in this country is not only abhorrent to the Constitution, but it's dangerous. You mentioned or you've talked about the politicization of the Department of Justice. This is the weaponization. Think about this, Sean. If you're a parent who's upset about a school board that may now be forcing critical race theory, or you're concerned about vaccine mandates, the federal Department of Justice is now going to try to call you a domestic terrorist and exercise federal criminal jurisdiction over you. This is crazy. It is crazy when you think about the cartels have seized operational control of our southern border, and the Department of Energy wants to spend time, wants to spend their time and energy going after parents. It's absolutely third world banana republic, but this just shows you how far left the Democratic Party is drifting.
Boy, it's really gone far. How do you characterize people as domestic terrorists? There really are terrorists, and yet, you know, and more importantly, if things get a little heated or out of hand at a school board meeting, I've got to imagine, Mr. Attorney General, that that's a situation where local police should and would be called in to calm the tensions, and if anyone's making threats, you know, to be charged appropriately.
Absolutely. Look, there's no place in our society for violence when you disagree with someone. Someone can disagree without being disagreeable. But people should be worried that you have this attempt where the teachers union basically, you know, they don't like when parents are speaking out against COVID or vaccines or mandatory COVID vaccines or against critical race theory. So they're trying to control everything. And if they can't control it at the local level, they're trying to have the heavy hand of the federal government come in and quash any sort of dissent. So this is all part of this radicalization that Biden administration is doing it. And, you know, his allies like Cartel Kelly here in Arizona are basically empowering the federal government to not only shred the Constitution, but it's this massive transfer of power to the federal government. And once we give that up as citizens, you know, it becomes, well, we're never going to get it back. And whether it's nationalizing elections, whether it's going after parents at local school board meetings, or basically, you know, allowing the cartels to take control of our border, the left is trying to radically change this country as quickly as possible. And that's why it's all hands on deck. We got to be doing everything we can to fight this.
So let me see if I understand this. Parents speaking out on what they believe are COVID restrictions that are draconian, or parents speaking out about sex education that they think is not age appropriate, or if they're speaking out against CRT, they're now going to be investigated as domestic terrorists. And then the same Biden administration refers to the Taliban that are terrorists as professional and businesslike. What's wrong with that picture?
I tell you what, you know the answer to that, Sean. I mean, what business does the Department of Justice or the FBI have in weighing in on and intimidating parents who oppose critical race theory? My goodness, if anything, the Department of Justice needs to focus on identifying dangerous migrants who have, you know, criminal records coming across our border, people that we know on the terror watch list that have been apprehended at our southern border, and instead they want to focus on taking away a parent's First Amendment rights to, you know, voice their opposition to critical race theory. And as you know, critical race theory is just that, it's neo-Marxist ideas, and it's dressed up and it's disguised, but, you know, a pig with a lipstick is still a pig. And critical race theory is all about undermining people's respect for our country and trying to, you know, have a revolution by another name.
So what's the purpose here? Is the purpose to what? Intimidate parents from speaking out and just falling in line because, you know, they don't want to be investigated by the FBI and they're going to intimidate parents?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, and that's exactly what's going on, and that's why it's so dangerous. This is what happens in third world countries. As you know, Sean, my family fled communism, and this notion that the federal government, that these people are going to come into local meetings and squash dissent, squash opposition, and basically intimidate someone from even saying something is really literally what happens with third world dictators, and it's not the United States. And folks both on the left and right need to realize that you can't have this weaponization of law enforcement agencies, you know, prosecutor's office, because, you know, once you allow that to happen, it's going to be misused. And then you have people, and this is what the left does, is, you know, they try to, you know, define, demonize, and destroy people because they want to quash all opposition. They want everyone to hate this country. And then once everyone hates the country, then they can have their revolution, because either people are going to be too afraid or not understand the facts. They're not going to be able to fight back. And that's why we got to be fighting so hard right now in order to stop this.
All right, quick break. More with the Attorney General of the great state of Arizona, Mark Brnovich. By the way, he's running for Senate against Mark Kelly 2022. We'll follow this race very closely, very winnable. Quick break, right back. Your calls on the other side. Final half hour, 800-941-SEAN. We'll continue.
Come on, man. It's taken me 47 years to perfect doing nothing. I had to become president to show you I could do that better than anybody. Joe Biden, the most dangerous man in America. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, as we continue with the Attorney General, now Senate candidate from the state of Arizona, Mark Brnovich is with us. Let's talk a little bit about Merrick Garland. I think there ought to be an investigation into the fact that he has his own family members that are making money off of selling materials as they relate to CRT. So my question is, how is it possible that he can't recuse himself from this? Why is he involved in any way when it impacts his family's bottom line?
Yeah, you would think so, because the left loves to try to point out like bogus, you know, conflicts or conspiracies. But literally, when your family has a direct financial interest in something, that is a problem. And this goes back to that mentality of, even with, you know, Biden's son. I mean, the notion that he unqualified in getting these seven-figure jobs on boards, they're selling access, they're selling influence. And the media, the mainstream media, doesn't point it out. They let them get away with it. And it's hypocritical. And what it does is, long-term-wise, it ruins people's faith in our systems, because they see that and they think, oh my gosh, if the Attorney General of the United States can have financial conflicts, or if the vice president at the time, now president's son, can be making money off the old man's name, then, you know, everyone thinks the whole system's corrupt. And so that's what's so disappointing to me, that no one is willing, especially in the media, to hold them accountable and call them out. I mean, there was a time when the mainstream media, you know, spoke truth to power, and whether you're Democrat or Republican, if you were doing something that was contrary to law, they would call you out on it. Now, though, the mainstream media, especially the major networks, have become arms of the DNC, and that's why it's so tough, because I feel like as conservatives, as principled conservatives, we always have to be twice as good and fight twice as hard just to keep even. And, you know, we got to keep doing it. We got to keep fighting, but I just think it points out the sheer hypocrisy of the individuals at the highest levels of our government. And it's not just about those family relationships, but what about them being beholden to the teachers' unions? I mean, they're essentially, with this critical race theory and even this memo, that is all about placating the unions, which, of course, support them in their power grab.
All right, we appreciate your time. Attorney General, great state of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, running for Senate a very important race in 2022, a winnable seat for the Republicans. Mark Kelly's probably one of the most reliable votes for Chuck Schumer on every radical issue. Mr. Attorney General, thanks for being with us.
Sean, thank you so much. And I would be remiss if you don't let me give a plug to the website, right? MarkBforHazy.com. Can I do that?
Yeah, you can. You can. I mean, it's still not the best, but I mean, you're making some progress.
No, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. I got a lot of things going on, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. All right, 25 to the top of the hour. Mitch McConnell caving. Can he get 9 other Republicans to go along with him? That's the big question of the hour. Senator Cruz and Lindsey Graham will be on Hannity tonight. If you want to call your senator or Mitch McConnell, 202-224-3121. One more time. Be nice. Be polite. 202-224-3121. Tell your senator you do not want Mitch McConnell to bail out Chuck Schumer and cave to Chuck Schumer, because that's what he's doing here. It's just, you know, unbelievable. All right, anyway, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, our number if you want to be a part of the program. What are you're in my ear, what now?
So I just had a quick question for you. I just wanted to know, well, two things, really. First of all, have you memorized this 202 number, or have you written it down?
I have not. It is not written down. I have it memorized.
You memorized it?
Yes, I did.
It's a very scary thing. That means our country's really falling apart. Now we've memorized these phone numbers. Okay. My second question is, why do you know this number so well? It used to be my job. So I know that we've been talking a lot about the 25-year anniversary. And today on Mediaite, it's now on Hannity.com, I saw that you gave an interview, an actual interview on the interview podcast.
With Aidan McLaughlin.
Shocking that you would do more media.
Well, tonight is the 25th anniversary since I started on the Fox News Channel, and I've been there from day one. And I've always done radio. I never stopped doing radio. When I first started at Fox, I was doing it at the ex-wife radio station in New York from 11 at night till 2 in the morning. And, you know, it was prime time, baby. That we came into this time slot and then syndicated not long after that. And, you know, I mean, I don't know why. How do I feel? I mean, look, I'll give you my answer. I feel very humbled, very grateful. I'm very appreciative. And I said in this interview that when you're able to find your passion and match it to what you do to make a living, it's the perfect balance. Because I can't really say that, there is a hard grind aspect to what we do every day. I'm on the air 4 hours a day. I need 4 hours of strong, solid research content every single day. And that in and of itself is the work part of the job that we do off the air. But I'm just grateful. It has caused me to pause a little bit. I really appreciate the fact that I know that where this microphone comes from. Now, I do have business partners. All right. So they're part of the equation. And I'm grateful. I have great business partners in radio and great business partners in TV. And I'll tell you what makes them great business partners. They trust me, A, and B, they let me be who I am. I'm not getting constant notes to change this or that. They leave it to me to do my job. And we work really hard. I have a great team on both radio and TV that work very hard every day to put the best shows we can on every day and every night. And I don't know, I don't want to get all, sentimental about it. I mean, I'm not dead. It's not like I'm finished. It's a milestone for sure. And I feel a sense of gratitude that people give us this microphone for 3 hours every day and that camera for 1 hour every night, because people get the opportunity to fire me every day. If you don't listen and you don't watch, ostensibly you're firing me.
But don't you think
people out there that want me fired? What?
I have to say, I mean, listen, obviously I'm biased. I've been here for 17 years. But in all truth, I mean, you having the largest amount of ratings in all of cable news, I mean, it's almost like it's such, success is always the best revenge against those who want to say everything is, our side is wrong and what we're putting out is false. And it's like, clearly it's not. Clearly we're doing our work. We're doing our research and it's resonating with the audience. And they're listening, they're watching. We're the number one show in cable news. We're the number one show on radio. We've got millions of listeners. I mean, it's got to be overwhelming.
You know, we set a record last year in the history of cable news for a year. Do I ever talk about it? No. And I don't live and die by ratings. I live and die by my focus. I just am a firm believer. If I focus on what I do and focus on the show and the mission of the show, news, information, entertainment, you know, that you're not going to get elsewhere. It's different from every other media outlet. We try to make it different because it just, there are some of us, there are others that are great at what they do. And, you know, I only champion their success. I don't feel in competition with them in any way. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. Look, these other channels, for example, they don't allow anybody with opinions like mine to even get any airtime. And I can tell you, not everybody at Fox, trust me, not everyone at Fox agrees with Sean Hannity. And that's obvious if you watch the channel. You know, we have a very smart audience. You can figure out people that agree with me on this or maybe disagree with me on that. And I'm fine with all of that. I want everybody to be themselves. I was kind of honored. I don't know if you saw the clip of Lawrence Jones was on with the great one, Mark Levin. And I was kind of taken back by, you know, they ended up talking a little bit about me. And the story that Lawrence was telling is true. He caught my eye and I just saw something in him. I just saw a natural talent, gifts that I don't believe I have that are so apparent at him. And he's a very young man. And anyway, we had a meeting and I wanted him to work on my show. And he immediately said yes. But he did have some trepidation. Well, I'm not a conservative all the time. What if we disagree? And I said, that's great. We disagree. So what? And, you know, he's now, you know, his future is bright. He probably won't take my call in 3 years, but
that's not true. He loves you.
No, I give him a hard time. Oh, you should ask him about the Hannity lectures.
LJ and I have had many conversations about your Hannity.
By the way, you should call him now and put him on the air. Give him a call.
I think he's going to be too busy. You know, he's probably washing his hair. You know,
I don't know what if you can get him, try and get him. All right.
I'll try and get him. I do.
Anyway, but I am grateful, and I just can't believe how time flies. In 25 years, I have two kids. One's now out of college, and one's in college. And you know, I just am very, very appreciative, very grateful. But we've got a lot of work to do, so I don't really have a lot of time to get all sentimental here.
Wait, hold on a minute. Let me just say one more thing. I don't think this is getting sentimental. 25 years is a huge accomplishment for radio, for TV. It's not an easy gig. This is a very hard business. And these past years have been the hardest ever for all of us in this business. It's not easy.
Well, look, there's a million people being paid money to try and get me fired every day.
Well, that's not.
By the way, if you're one of them getting paid and you're in your underwear in your basement and listening and monitoring every word I say, you're a complete and total and utter loser. And you need to really get a life. All right, Courtney, California. See if you can get LJ. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you for helping me do it.
Well, you're welcome. So I'm concerned about what's coming up. The next election, the midterms coming up in a year. It's only a year off, and I'm concerned about them being free and fair. The process, and you know, have the states enacted legislation? Or have they passed laws protecting one legal vote per voter? I mean, everyone should have one legal vote, and it's a big deal.
Some states have, some are working on it, and we're all over monitoring it. Every state should have voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody controls, updated voter rolls, and partisan observers should be allowed to watch the vote count start to finish. If we do that, I think we'll have integrity in the system and confidence in the results. I hope they do it. What were you saying, Linda, in my ear?
LJ,
is that you?
I mean, that's the rumor. That's the rumor.
So, no, I was just telling the story that I saw the clip of you and Levin talking about me. And then we took it a step further, and I said I saw you on TV, and And you were very nice. You said some very nice things about me, and I was very appreciative. And then I said to Linda, I said, have you ever heard, ask LJ the next time you see him about the Hannity speech I give him every time I see him.
Oh, God. Do we really have to do this? Do we have
We really have.
I think now, we get the same one, LJ.
Now, you know my son. You're friends with my son.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I give him the same speech, so I love you like a son.
Right, right.
Okay, has there been any advice I've ever given you that's been bad advice?
No, you don't give bad advice. You just give the same advice over and over and over again. And I'm like,
okay, because I want to make sure it sinks in over and over. Now, I love the fact your mom was your mom had you at 16, correct?
16, yep. And my dad.
Incredible story.
Right,
she is now a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad, and you grew up in the Dallas area. Your dad is a truck driver, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And one of my Hannity-isms to you is what? About
Don't
mom and dad.
Don't forget your mom the preacher and your dad the truck driver, yes. Cool. Yes.
I'm sorry to burn. Now, just to let people know, how old are you now? 27 or 28?
I'm 28. Wow, that's just phenomenal. Yeah,
okay.
I'm 28.
You're 28 years old. You were in diapers when I was started at Fox. Let's put it that way to give some perspective here, okay? Now,
you're old.
Now, what do I always say about fame?
It's the worst thing for you.
It's unhealthy.
You say it's unhealthy, and, you know, it'll get you in a lot of trouble. So watch the girls. Watch where you go. The bad stuff that you continue to repeat. LJ, make sure if you get into Uber that it's a black card. And make sure you're not being followed to do this. Don't go crazy.
Meaning the more expensive Uber. Don't be the kid throwing up in the bushes. Never do drugs.
Correct. Correct.
No. All right. So now giving you reminders.
Right. Until you're married. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is that you're still, you don't know this, you don't feel this, but you're still, to me, a very, you're a young man like my son, right? And, you know, let me use myself. Sometimes young men don't make the best decisions. So to have somebody that cares enough to remind you of where the pitfalls in life are, on a regular basis, is that a bad thing or is that a good thing?
It is a good thing, but it's also an annoying thing as well.
you sound just like my son, man.
Well, stop. And you'll give compliments here and there. They're very rare. You'll say you're killing it.
I do. I do say that. And I believe that. I said I said last night you're crushing it.
Yeah. You'll say that you always, you know, he tries to be this tough guy, but you always say, I love you. You always do that. So you're very compassionate, but you harp on the same stories over and over and over again.
Because the dangers, you know, you want to know what the truth is? It's 25 years, and I've seen it all.
Yeah.
This is not my first rodeo. And I don't want you to fall into the same traps of fame and money and all this stuff, because what you do is a service. Your mom provides a service. She offers spiritual, you know, words of wisdom to her congregation. Your dad, America doesn't survive without great truck drivers. Thank God for people like your dad. And your parents instilled these values in you. And because we became friends so fast, I see your star rising fast that I feel that I only want you to succeed and I want you to avoid trouble.
You do. Now,
for whatever reason, if you're young, good looking, you're on TV and have money, there's going to be girls throwing themselves at you. And by the way, you don't deserve all of that.
You know, I will give you credit on this point, especially. You always said about not letting stuff go to your head and how it starts to change people on air. And you said you got to see people around you where it changes them. And I have. And learning from their mistakes as well has tried to my very best of my abilities, to not let it go so much to my head.
All right, I'm going to say these last words. I'm proud of you. Stay on the straight and narrow. And I love you. And I only want the best for you. and you're a total superstar.
I love you back, bro. Seriously.
All right. LJ, thank you. He is a total star. If I had half his talent, I'd be somewhat successful. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. We are loaded up. President Donald Trump will join us. Lindsey Graham opposing Mitch caving in. Senator Thune saying they don't have the votes yet. We'll see. We'll also check in with Sarah Sanders, Ryan Priebus, Tammy Bruce. But Donald Trump for most of the hour tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox. And I'm sure has a lot to say about everything that's going on. That's all coming up. 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News, set your DVR. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you back here tomorrow.